ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm the Gnarly Gnome, and this is the Weekly Pint. It's not a show. It's a happy hour. It's an excuse for me and you to sit down, have a drink together, talk about whatever we want to talk about. We talk about the latest in Cincinnati drinking news. We talk about the latest in the world. We don't actually talk about the latest in the world. This is kind of an excuse to get away from all of that stuff, to get away from the daily chaos of life, and just sit down and have a drink together. You don't have to drink booze, although booze is way more fun. You don't have to. You can crack open whatever you want, and you should. You should be cracking something open right now, and you should be telling me what it is you're cracking open so that we can drink together. Let's see how that works. Happy hour. We drink together. Marco is having a Galaxy High. Alex is having an Italian Pils from Westside. Let's see, Joe is having bourbon and Coke. I have nothing in front of me, although I will have something in front of me in just a minute. As soon as I figure out what is in front of the camera here. Oh, it's this. Oh, that's going to drive me crazy. There's that. Okay, I fixed it. Look, see? I'm like a professional. I fixed it. There was something wrong, and I made it right. Who said that I wouldn't figure this thing out? I think I said that. I think I've said that lots of times, that I'll just never figure out this podcasting thing. Let's see. Josh is opening up a Bell's Two Hearted. Good choice. Julia is having Third Eye Scream Strawberry Ice Cream Ale. Ice Cream Ale. I like that. I don't have schnapps. Well, I mean, I do have some schnapps, but not schnapps that I wanted to drink. Last week, we made cocktails with Bekarovka, and I finished the bottle of Bekarovka that's been sitting here in the studio that I've been sipping on for, like, months at this point, and I didn't replace it. I was going to replace it, and then I didn't. I do have something else, though. I was torn because I really, really want to dive into this stuff here. This it's really far back there. I can't reach it. The duet from New Riff and Rheingeist. Really, really wanted to drink this thing here. Really, really, really wanted to drink this on tonight's show. But I'm like 3/4 of the way through making a video about it. And part of the video is me tasting it on the video. And I can't open it off of the video. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. So yeah, I'm not gonna open it tonight, which is very disappointing because it's freaking delicious. I did try it the other night. You'll see it all in the video. But I did get something else. I've made a decision this year. I think that the summer of 2026, so you might want to write this down because this is a declaration. This is something very important. People will be talking about this in the news tomorrow, probably for months to come. The summer of 2026 is going to be the summer of rum. I'm going to drink rum all the time. I think it's going to be a rum summer. I will drink whiskey too, but obviously. But rum. I have realized more and more over the last, like, I don't know, whatever period of time, that I just really, really enjoy rum. And for a spirit that I enjoy that much, I don't drink as much as I want to. And that's a tragedy is what I think it is. So we're going to drink some rum. I went over to the bar, and I kind of perused the rum shelf. I have one shelf dedicated just to rum. Maybe it'll be two this summer. I don't know. Why not? Let's get crazy. Two shelves to rum. I found a bottle that has been hanging out for a couple years now. It's been hanging out on the bar. Not quite done. This was from the last vacation we took down to North Carolina. This is Kill Devil Rum. I have, as you can see, not a lot of it left. This is from the Outer Banks Craft Distilling Company. I probably should have looked up where exactly they are. I want to say Kill Devil Hills, but that's not right. Nope, it's Manteo, North Carolina. This little distillery had a really, really great time there, and this stuff was delicious. It says, the legend begins with shipwrecks along the Outer Banks of North Carolina and the barrels of rum that once landed upon our shores. In those days, rum was known as Kill Devil. And these plundered barrels were buried at the base of what became known as Kill Devil Hill, where the Wright brothers would make their historic flight. We're proudly bringing back this tradition through small batch, locally produced rum known as Kill Devil. Okay, and this is not just regular rum. This is their pecan rum. It is rum made with pecans and honey. This was where I was sitting at the bar talking about this rum with the bartender, and he told me that, or he asked me what the difference were between pecans and pecans, and I didn't know the answer, and he told me that it is in fact about $5 a pound, and that is still one of my favorite quotes. Okay, let's get into this. All right. This stuff is so delicious. I don't keep a lot of flavored rum behind the bar, but this is an exception because it is that delicious. All right. Although I do have somewhere a Outer Banks Distilling mug. I think it's in my office. It's hanging somewhere in the basement. That's the problem of having a chaotic, fun basement is that there's just things tucked in corners, and so you sometimes you can't find things when you want them. Ryan is headed to the fridge to get something to drink tonight. When you get it, tell us what it is. Okay. Pecan, Kill Devil Rum. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got a little bit of that kind of sharp booziness that typically is not something that I love. Oh, but then that the pecan, and there's like a sugary kind of dessert thing going on. But yeah, it's boozy. I mean, it's actually not that boozy. It's like, what, yeah, 40%, so 80 proof. I mean, it's standard. All right, let's do the fun part. Let's taste it.
Hmm.
Oh yeah, that's good. If you have any anecdotes about rum of your own, don't forget that you can call into the show. It's right there on the screen. You can call into the drunk line. You don't have to be drunk to call into the drunk line, but it does help. 567-70-DRINK. That's 567-703-7465. You can call right in, and we'll patch you in. We don't encourage drunkenness on this show. Let me make that clear. I'm pretty sure that's against the terms of service of every streaming platform. So we do not encourage drunkenness. We encourage imbibing responsibly. And I'm responsibly loving this. That's freaking delicious. Oh, yeah. Chris is just jumping in. Also has a Galaxy High. Everybody got their Galaxy High today except for me. I was really wanting to grab some. And I didn't. And that seems to be kind of... that seems to be par for the course. Is that I keep finding releases around town. And I'm like, oh, I really got to grab some of that. I'd really like to have some for Monday. And then it comes and it goes. And I'm like, well, it's Monday and I don't have it. I didn't get any. I didn't buy beer like all that. Well, I didn't buy packaged beer for the house at all last week. I'm still like, I'm actually kind of running low. And as we head into summer, that is a problem. Got to be fully stocked and ready for impromptu nights of drinking. That's important in my house. I did do some drinking around, though, to be fair. I was not just hiding away from my responsibilities of being the drunkard of Cincinnati. I did swing by a tap room, and I want to talk about that. This is a, this is not new, it's returning, but it is kind of newer. I'm talking about Misrule. Misrule is back. They were gone for a little while. They had, what I'm calling a falling out with their previous, tap room location, their partner. And We talked about that on this show at some point. I did not go back to my notes to figure out when we talked about it. It's not really important. But they have found a new home, and that is Gaslight Brew House in Oxford. Yes, it was called Brew House. It's still called Brew House, even though there is no brew house there. I hate that. I'm going to put that out there. I hate when you're a restaurant and you call yourself a brew house because it's confusing for people. There are still so many people that struggle to understand what a brewery is and a brewery is not. And I don't like that. But I do love seeing them return to Oxford. They had 7 beers on tap, which is fine. I sat down. I'm like, that's great. Can I get a flight? Because I like flights, especially when I'm at a place that I'm not going to get back to for a little while, when there's lots of things that I want to try and see what's going on. I like trying flights. And there was maybe like 4 or 5 people at the bar. It wasn't crazy. It wasn't like it was stupid busy, so I didn't feel terrible about ordering a flight. What I did feel terrible about, though, was when the bartender told me the bad news that they don't do flights yet. And I'm like, oh, okay. Do you have, half pours or anything kind of smaller? No, we have 16-ounce or 22-ouncers. Oh, okay. We're drinking a couple 16-ouncers then. So I got a couple beers. Did not get to try them all because there were 7 of them on tap. They had Velvet Buzz, which is like a milk stout with chocolate and honey and cherry, some kind of desserty milk stout thing. I did not try that one, although it came highly recommended. Writer's Bock. I'm going to let you guys guess what style that is. It was a Bock, a single Bock. So not super high ABV. It was probably around 6% or so. I did try that one. Da Bomb, which I believe is probably an IPA of some kind, probably a hazy IPA. I don't actually remember the styles. There was Foggy Notion, and I'm not going to remember what any of these styles were. Foggy Notion, there was Bro Hugs, Cradle of Kolsches. I remember that was a Kolsch. Thought Experiment. So Thought Experiment was a Helles. Foggy Notion was a California Common, I believe. I think I'm right on those. So I tried a couple of them. They were good. The beers were all solid. The one thing that, and I did post a story about this, which sometimes I feel bad about, but sometimes you have to say something and you have to point things out because the brewery, and granted, they get a little bit of leeway from me because they are a small brewery. They're a very small local brewery. We're going to say repurposed all of their tap handles. And by repurpose, I mean they took other people's tap handles. They took that tap handles and then put their own stickers on them, which I get because tap handles are expensive and sometimes you don't really want to buy your own. And I get that, but tap handles are expensive. And so when you take them from somebody else, you are taking a product from somebody else and then putting your own name on it. It bothers me. It's not good, not right. And I could immediately, they had, I think, 4 of the beers like on a kegerator up on one side of the bar. And then there were like, 3 or 4 taps that were kind of on the back bar, right in front of my face the whole time. And 2 of those were very clearly Urban Artifact taps. And I could see it. And I just, I had to say something. And for the record, I did receive several comments from some of the breweries that very clearly were tap handles that, had been what we're calling repurposed. It's not okay. It's not all right. Julia says, what are your thoughts on if they were using tap handles from breweries that are no longer around? Ugh. Is that okay or more okay? Maybe more okay, maybe. But it still isn't okay because that still is property that belongs to somebody. In that case, they should probably just go back to the distributor and you let the distributor worry about it. If the brewery isn't around anymore, it's not the end of the world. They're expensive. They are expensive. And like there are some breweries where you can buy their tap handles if you want to collect them, or if you want to repurpose them for your brewery, cover them up so you can cover up any kind of intellectual property, I guess. But the shape itself is, in my opinion, some kind of intellectual property. They're very distinctive tap handles. Like if you see, like, here's a great example. Here is a Rivertown tap handle. If you took off the Rivertown logos on here and I saw this, this is probably not the best example because it is kind of generic, but I would recognize that I would recognize this and know that this is a Rivertown tap handle. Maybe a better example would be something a little more distinctive. I'm not going to try to get the blank slate one out of the corner, but that's a distinctive look. It's a tap handle that that represents your brewery. They make generic tap handles that you can just swap the sticker, and that's why they do it. Because there are people that don't want to spend the money for their own design, which I get. It's expensive. Chris says Three Floyds tap handles are fun. There's a lot of really fun ones, and that's the whole point. Is that there are some places that spend a ton of money, not only like having them designed and then figuring out if it works, because sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're too big or too heavy and the design just doesn't work. There's some good stories about that. And then they spend the money to get them produced. And if somebody takes them, like, that's money straight out of your favorite brewery's pockets. I don't want to dwell on this too long, but I didn't like it. I didn't like seeing that. It put a damper on the whole situation for me. Not enough that I won't be back, because I will. I will go back and I will enjoy the beers and be just fine. But I can't guarantee that I won't make some kind of comment every time I go back. What do you expect me to do? Yeah, that's delicious. It is very, it's hotter than I remember it being. Like, it does have some alcohol burn to it. Like, it warms you up right there. Julia says, Amazon search for wooden tap handle. You can get a 6-pack for $35. Singles for $18. That's definitely what they should have done, especially since they're not distributing beer. It's in one location. Like, they just need, like, 10 tap handles. Yeah. I mean, there are some that are like I'm pretty sure this design, I'm pretty sure that this is a generic design and just get some logos on it. Just do something like that. Or heck, like, I mean, just get like those little tiny plastic ones. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Most people aren't ordering their beer from a tap handle. Most people, especially in a bar like that, are sitting at a table. They can't even see the bar. They're ordering off of a menu that's in front of them or off of their phone. Don't get me started on that. From their phone looking at the untapped menu. It doesn't make sense. Just doesn't make any sense. You know what does make sense, though, if we want to use that as a transition? New products. And I try to keep my eye on Greater Cincinnati and the products that are being released and things that excite me. And there are some things that excite me that we can't talk about yet, and some things that are coming. But there is one that Ryan says maybe they can get some kind of Amazon bundle deal with some 5-ounce taster glasses. Maybe. I mean, maybe they'll do flights as soon as all the students leave. Maybe that's it. They're just like, ah, look, when students are here, no flights, like, we're just not going to deal with it. We're not going to deal with that chaos. We're going to wait until they're gone, and then we will become a proper tap room. Maybe. A new product that caught my eye that I had to talk about, though, Wandering Monsters. So Wandering Monsters got me talking a little while ago when they did their vodka soda, vodka seltzers, which Nomad Moon, I believe, is what they're called. Is that right? Which I think is a fun product for them. This is a hard soda. So they took their seltzer base and dumped a bunch of cherry cola syrup in it and made a 5.2% hard soda. Now, on paper, a lot of people don't care about hard sodas. The segment is not really doing a whole lot. Soda in general is not really doing a whole lot, although I think last year it did kind of grow a little bit, the segment, soda in general. But beyond that, like, the last few years, it's been down, like everything is. So it's an interesting product, and I say that because even though on paper soda and hard soda is not like this this booming growth segment, I've been like really, really into it, and I don't know why, and I don't know if that's something that other people are feeling. I hope it is. But like, as everybody else is turning their back on like sweeter beverages, I'm finding myself kind of leaning into them a little bit, and I don't really know why. I'm drinking more soda this year than I usually do. Like, I'm having like a couple sodas a week now. Like, I'm just grabbing random sodas off the shelf at Jungle Gyms and really, really enjoying them. That just reminded me, I decided last week I was going to start doing soda Sundays on the Instagram page and posting a soda, and I had one for this week, and then I just never posted it. I forgot. I just remembered. All right, soda Tuesday this week. But I'm really enjoying kind of diving into that world and kind of exploring it a little bit. And finding some more historical ones and exploring those, and some really weird stuff and exploring that. But the hard soda category, it started kind of, well, it started, March 1st did a Wally Pop a couple years ago, and I really, really liked them. And I thought it was a fun kind of twist on a seltzer, something that, was a little bit sweeter, and then kind of leaned into this nostalgic soda flavors. And I've seen several other brands. I did a show with Stoop Days earlier this year, and I really enjoyed it. Was it this year or late last year? I don't even know. Time doesn't make sense. And I really enjoyed them. Like, I really thought that they were good. And I think that I'm into this, is the whole point. What makes it a little more difficult for me is that they're not packaging it. At least as of right now, they're not packaging it. This is a taproom only release, which then raises a whole bunch of other questions for me. Is like, is this a product that people are going to taprooms to drink? Are people going and like sitting and drinking hard sodas in the taproom? They have to be if they're making it. Like, they know their customers and they know what they're ordering. But I don't think I would ever order one in a tap room. Like, that's not the situations that I find myself wanting to drink hard sodas. I want to drink them by the pool, or I want to drink them like hanging out like in the yard, smoking a cigar on the weekends or whatever. Like, that's when I want to drink them. So it is, but I feel that way about a lot of products that I'm seeing coming out of breweries these days, is that like, that's a fine product and I would love to try it, but I just don't know that I want to go to a tap room and enjoy that. Like, I want to go to a tap room and enjoy a different type of product. So I don't know. Chris said he had an Ecto Cooler at Swine City last week. The nostalgia was great. Had a nice sour to it. Ryan says a locally crafted hard soda has much more appeal and intrigue. Steve points out that they're a great change of pace palate cleanser when you are beard out. Sometimes you just want something different. And also, like,
Sometimes you do just want a little something a little sweeter than a beer. And I know that there are plenty of beers that are super sweet, especially in today's market. There are plenty of beers that are super sweet, probably sweeter than they're supposed to be or should be, or that I want them to be. But that's also, that's when I would want to drink a hard soda. It would fit. Let me finish this. Oh, that's good. All right, before we get into the main topic of the night, we should open a beer because this topic has a lot to do with beer, pretty much everything to do with beer. Empty glass is a sad thing. Now, I'm going to clarify this. This was supposed to be kind of a gimmicky beer. This was not supposed to be something that I'm taking seriously. However, I am kind of curious about it, so I am going to take it a little seriously. Also, I think it'll fit the theme. I think. We'll find out. You guys got a sneak preview of this if you were watching last week. Qingdao. This is Qingdao from China, or for how a lot of... hang on. My lights are not properly illuminating my Qingdao. Let me get that fixed. I think it's this one. No, that's the wrong one. I need to actually label these so I know what they are. All right. Get our beer light cranked up. That's a little better. All right. Turn on the drink cam. I guess that's what that's for. Qingdao. This is an imported premium lager. And it points out at the top, 20. This is, how big is this can? I have no idea. It has to say on here somewhere, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, there we go. No, this is a 1 pint, 0.8 fluid ounces, so 16.8 ounces. It's not that big. Let's see. Okay, so at the top, it tells me that it is a beer. Beer, cerveza. Like, it says it in all kinds of different languages, just to let you know that it's beer. The brewery is established in 1903. It is crafted using selected malt. Well, that's good. It's selected. Hops and a special yeast for a crisp, refreshing beer. All right. And if you wanted to know about the beer, it is imported exclusively by Paulaner USA. 4.7% ABV. And that is really all it tells me about it. It's been a while since I've had it. Let's get into this. All right. Oh, I didn't change my... We all know looks do matter. I want to talk about what your beer looks like, because I'm pretty sure this is going to be a good looking beer. We can make fun of macro beer all we want, especially something like Qingdao, which is not very flavorful. But they do know how to make a good looking beer. that's a good looking beer. And I feel, and I could be wrong, but I feel that I think that it's changed. I think that I don't have any evidence for this. I don't have any data. But in my mind, when I first started drinking craft beer, or even when I really kind of started really getting into craft beer, or even once breweries first started opening here in Cincinnati, I feel like people paid more attention to what their beers were looking like. They cared more about this craft of the appearance of a beer. And I will talk about why I think that's important. But for some reason, over the last 8 years or so, something shifted and something changed in my personal experience, anecdotally. And when you go to a brewery now, I feel like there is not that attention put towards it. And that gets under my skin. And I understand that there are other factors in this. Let's start with kind of some of the things that I'm talking about here. And because there are different levels to this appearance side of things. So the easiest one is the beer itself, which is the kind of the surface level here that I'm talking about. And that goes to things like clarity and the color and the head of the beer, the foam itself on a beer, and how important that is to the experience of that beer. And I fully recognize that whether it is some styles that have shifted and changed, or consumer preferences that have changed, or new styles that have popped up in that time, sometimes things don't look like beer traditionally looked. All beers are not going to be this bright, brilliant, clear beer with a big, fluffy white head on top. That's not what every style is supposed to look like. And I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. And the proliferation of hazy beers is not my issue. My issue is that if you call something a premium lager, it should look like this. It should be bright and brilliant and yellow with a big foamy white head on top that hangs out while you're drinking. Like, look, it's just sitting there like somebody put a scoop of ice cream on there. That's what it's supposed to look like. Far, far too much. I go and I sit down at a brewery or a bar and I get a lager or a pilsner or a Helles or a premium lager, a light lager, name any one of those styles. And it does not look like this. It's hazy, has no head on it. It's kind of murky. It's a weird color, like far too much. People are not paying attention to what the beer in the glass looks like. And in my opinion, that is one of the very first things that we experience when we get a beer, is what it looks like. You should sit and you should marvel at a beer. You should get lost when you're sitting outside on a patio or in a beer garden. You should get lost in the beauty of that beer. That is part of the drinking experience. And we have lost sight of that. This is beautiful, but I'm going to drink it. Let's see what Qingdao tastes like. It smells a little grainy. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this is probably adjuncted with rice versus corn. I could be wrong on that. There is definitely a different aroma from those two different sides. And I always in my head compare them to the way a Bud Light smells versus a Miller Light smells. And this kind of leans more towards a Bud Light-y kind of smell. It doesn't smell bad. All right, let me get in here. It's crisp. It's clean. It's refreshing. Yeah, it's a fine beer. I could drink 16.8 ounces of that. It's not. I think that there is room for breweries to experiment with the defined cultural and historical ways that things are supposed to be. I'm fully okay with that. And I understand that if somebody wants to put out a weird colored pilsner, fine. Communicate that to the consumers and fine. with everything, communicate it to your consumers ahead of time so they know what they're getting into. But if you can't or don't make a clear beer, you're missing out on something. You're missing out on this whole critical piece of the beer experience. If you are not making any beer that has a head on it, you're missing out on a critical piece of the beer experience. That's just getting into the looks of the beer. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about like what the head on a beer actually does to the aromatics and how they help kind of break it up. Not even talking about that. This is just what it looks like. And I don't want to say that it like it infuriates me, because like that seems a little extreme, but it is like consistently, like very consistently getting under my skin when I go places. And it's like, maybe it's a couple different things. Maybe it's just that so many places are giving me that now, and that kind of starts to wear on you. Maybe it's that I'm spending so much per pint of beer. I'm spending the money. And if I go somewhere and I spend, you know, $8 on a pint of beer, $7 or $8 or whatever the average is now, and then it's mediocre or it falls short of what my expectations are, like it hurts more. Like it gets more under my skin. And I'm kind of hitting that point sometimes. Like if I go out and I'm like, man, I have time that I can go out tonight and I can stay for two beers. I got time for two beers before I got to get home and I got to do this or I got to do that. Or I got to mow the grass or whatever the heck is going on that day. And if those two beers let me down, that hurts more than I think it used to. That's got to be part of it, right? And again, this is just talking about what it looks like. We're not even talking about what it costs or what it tastes like or any of the other factors that go into it. Now, I will continue down this rant, rabbit hole of a rant. I will continue down it and say that appearance matters in more than just the actual liquid that's in your glass. And I think we should talk about the glass itself, because that's something else that gets under my skin. Everybody doesn't have to have some kind of fancy glass. You don't have to stock your bar with the finest glass in the world, the Be Gnarly Drink Local glass. You don't have to stock that one. You could. We could figure something out. We can make that happen, but you don't have to. But you got to do something a little more than just your standard shaker pint glass if you want the experience to be as good as it can. And the shaker pint glass is better than what I've been given at some places. And I love 50 West dearly, but I'm going to call you out right now because you're still putting your beer in plastic. And I understand that you have a big sandbox that we can all play in. I understand that. And I understand that most of your people are going and walking around outside and hanging out and jogging or whatever we do outside. I get it. And plastic has a time and a place. And I get that. But if I'm sitting at a bar, if I sit down and I'm posted up and I'm like, look, I'm sitting right here and I'm just going to enjoy a couple pints of beer, a couple great pints of beer that I want to be expressed to me in their best way possible. And then you hand it to me in a plastic cup. It just ruins the experience. And over the years, there's been several places that have just done this as part of what they do. And I get it. Again, I'm going to say this a lot. I get it. All of your reasons for it, I understand. And you're not wrong. I get it if you're like you're getting a lot of glasses broken and you're cleaning up broken glass, or it's dangerous, it's in sand and you don't want people stepping on broken glass in sand. I get that. I don't want that either. And I would give you crap for that if it was happening. But I'm sitting at a bar trying to enjoy a beer. Let me enjoy the beer to the best of your ability. What are we doing? What is the purpose of making your own beer if we're not going to appreciate it in the way that it deserves to be appreciated? There is no point. At a certain point, it all just becomes meaningless. Put it in a glass for me. I'm going to start bringing my own glass. I'm going to start filling my pockets with glassware so that I can sit down at a bar and appreciate a proper pour of beer. That's what's going to happen. They have like those plastic, like the B cups. You remember those? I think they're still around. B cups was the brand. They sponsored Cincy Brewcast years ago. That was one of our first sponsors, trivia. Good company made some really great, they were durable plastic cups, but they presented the beer in a better way than just a crappy plastic cup. And I was really disappointed they didn't catch on more than they did. And I get it. Cost. I understand. I get it. BYOG. Bring your own glass. That's my new motto. That does factor into appearance. Now, that can, and we're not talking about this, but it can change just kind of the overall experience too. Like, it's been actually a lot of years now that I think about it. I did a very, what I'm calling an in-depth study on different glassware. I hooked up with one of the major glass manufacturers, one of my favorite glass manufacturers, Somm, and got a bunch of glassware, just a whole big box of glassware of different glasses. And then I took, there was probably like six different beers, different styles, and I took every one of those and I put it in every different glass and sat there and took notes on everything and which glasses emphasized what and how it changed the experience of that beer and what did it actually change and how was it making me feel. And I wish that I was doing it now because I could do it a lot better. At the end of all of that, the glasses did affect aroma a lot, and they did affect a lot of the experience of the beer texturally, I guess. But more than that, probably the most of all, it affects how it feels when you drink a beer. And I'm talking about just this emotional feeling of picking that up and drinking it in the same way that appearance does. It's an intangible thing that you're missing out on when you're putting it in either a crappy glass or a plastic cup or serving it in a can or a bottle. You're missing this entire side of experiencing beer. And again, it kind of gets under my skin. What are we doing? If we're sitting here and we're charging somebody $8 for that beer, Why are we then dumping it in a glass that was meant to shake a cocktail? It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. And I think that there's a better way that we can do all of this. You can put it in something that is a little more appropriate. And sometimes it might be something as simple as just a little bit more shapely twist on a pint glass. And then sometimes it could be a stemmed glass or a snifter or something that, it is a little fancier. It doesn't stack as well. I get it, and I don't care. I don't care. At some point, we will just stop. We'll stop going to that place. We'll stop going to the place that's put in shaker pints, and we'll go to the place that puts it in better glassware. At least I hope so. At some point, you are doing so much of a disservice to your customers that people will eventually have to put their foot down, right? Right? We care? I hope. Maybe that's the joke of all of this. Maybe we don't actually care. Maybe nobody actually cares about any of this, and we just want cheap beer that we can just dump down our face. We don't care what it looks like. I don't know. What about packaging? We're talking about appearance. Packaging factors into that. You know, it used to be that, and I think there's still a lot of this that goes on, but it used to be that breweries were putting so much effort into making that can say something. And sometimes it said something very strongly about the beer. Sometimes it said, gave a whole story about who they were as a brewery and how you as a consumer were supposed to be connecting with them. And now it's just like, well, how does it stand out on a shelf? How does it tie into the rest of our packaging? How do they all form some cohesive story there? I'll say it again. Like, I get it. It's not wrong. It's definitely not wrong. But telling a story is so much more important. This is not supposed to be equivalent to selling macaroni and cheese in a grocery store. This is supposed to be something that means something more to drinkers and connects different with drinkers. Beer is not a commodity, despite what a lot of people think about it. Beer is a social glue. Like, it's a thing that connects people to each other. It's the thread of the social fabric around us. And when you start losing sight of that, it's all going to come unraveled. Like, that was a good metaphor. Somebody write that down. That was pretty good. I don't like it. I don't like seeing it. I think that it is I think it's a big reason that we are seeing people get so apathetic about craft beer, because craft beer has been made so not special. I think we need to get back to it. I don't like seeing yeast floaties and sours. No, it's natural and normal. I get that. It can be on style. But if it turns you off, it turns you off. And that's a part of it. I called out Warped Wing when they rebranded, and the marketing company was even a client of mine. I miss the classic can art. I have been one that I've been a little bit impressed with. So Mad Tree. Mad Tree got a lot of crap when they rebranded a couple years back, kind of when they were moving over into 2.0. They did a very big kind of brand change then, and made the artwork on the cans a little less front and center, and people didn't like it. I didn't like it. I get it. Again, I'm gonna keep saying it. I get it, but I didn't really love it. And over the couple years, I guess it's probably been more than a couple years at this point, over the time since then, every time there's a little shift in their can art, it becomes a little more and more prominent, bringing kind of that artwork back while still letting the brand kind of tie to each other. It's done really well, and I really, really appreciate it. Rheingeist. When Rheingeist started, all of their cans were very simple in design. It was just the logo, color, name. You guys know the Rheingeist can art at this point. And over the last few years, we've started to see them develop more and more personality. And I love that. I love it. Zach points out Northern Row. Yes, another great example. They're still cohesive and they still tie to each other. But there's artwork to it. There's personality to it. There's something more that kind of starts to tell the story to me as a drinker. I like that. I think it's important, and it's a big part of craft beer that we've kind of been missing. And not every beer has to be that way. Qingdao, look, this can art tells enough of a story of what this is. And it's classic and it's very Chinese. this is who they are, and I get it. There are some kind of historical styles that just need to look like history. Let's see. Chris says, give me the old saber-toothed tiger over the new one any day. Which old saber-tooth? So I'm pretty sure the first saber-tooth was a very simple logo. If I remember correctly, that one was put in a 22-ounce bomber with just the rarity artwork on it. Not great. But that original black can, that one was great. That was a really good one. Zach says, by the way, have you had any of the Speaking of the Devils this weekend? I have not had any of them yet. Elijah is having a little malort to start the night. Oh, boy. Jason says, what you drinking? Griffin Claw Brewing, Raggedy Ass IPA. I hope... Is this a clear IPA or is this a hazy IPA? Because with the conversation, if you're drinking a hazy beer, I think you're doing it wrong. It needs to be a bright, beautiful beer. And this is not meant to just crap on hazy IPAs, because they have, it is a valid beer style, and I will fully admit that. Hefeweizen is supposed to be hazy, and I get it. Like, that's not what we're talking about. I mean, that can be a beautiful thing. You know, you give me a German Hefeweizen in a beautiful wheat glass and put me in a beer garden outside with the sun shining and that big, beautiful yellow-orange beer with a big fluffy head on top. Like, that's a thing of beauty. And we've lost sight of that. Like, if I was more of a jerk, I would just start taking pictures and just posting pictures. Make beer beautiful again. I did put out the call. This has been a couple years. We did the hashtag post your Pilsner challenge. You know, when you're out drinking a Pilsner, just take a picture of it and tag it. Hashtag post your Pilsner, because Pilsner has a very specific way that it's supposed to look. And you know, a lot of them shouldn't. A lot of them don't look that way. Chris points out, I did Malort at Swine City and I didn't think it was awful. I think I responded to your message about that. Malort, sometimes like it tastes almost good to me. Other times I'll drink it and it is foul. Elijah says, I keep Malort stocked in my bar at home and buy it regularly. Zach wants to know if Elijah saw that the Barrelhaus in Dayton is doing flavored Malort. Saw banana flavored Malort they're pouring. There is flavored Malort. That is a very, as Elijah points out, it's a very common thing. Swing by Binsky's. There's always some fun flavors happening there. If you punch your card, you can try some of the exclusive Malort flavors. Banana and peanut butter. Elijah says, I'm definitely on the post your Pilsner bandwagon. I think it's fun because it's supposed to be a big part of the beer. That's what I'll say. It's supposed to be. Whether or not it is, look, there's a lot of things we can complain about in beer. Hopefully all it does is make beer better, because that's supposed to be the goal of all of this, is just get us better beer in our hands, better beers in our faces. That's supposed to be the goal of the craft beer movement, I think. At least it was. I don't mind that beer. It's not blowing my socks off. But if you are drinking a macro lager, It's fine.
All right.
Zach says, I like being able to hear a Cincy Brewcast today. I'm glad to hear. There are more episodes coming. We are kicking off the new season of Cincy Brewcast starting next, not this coming Monday, the following Monday. So stay tuned for that. And if you did listen to this week's episode of Cincy Brewcast, well, if you didn't, we should start there. If you didn't listen to this week's episode of Cincy Brewcast, do that. Make sure you're subscribed to Cincy Brewcast. Just go to cincybrewcast.com, and there's links all over on there somewhere that you can click on, I think. Yeah, if you click on an episode, you can subscribe that way. I probably need to put a big, like, subscribe here link. And you can listen to all the episodes via your favorite podcast platforms. Hopefully people know how to listen to podcasts now, right? Like, we've gotten to that point. Like, I don't have to tell you what a podcast is or how to listen to it. If you listen to this week's episode, you will probably remember that we mentioned we're also giving away some tickets. So, oh no, wrong. All right, there we go. Ticket giveaway time. The Bacchus Brew Fest and Beyond. If you've ever been to the Oakley Beer Fest or the Bacchus Beer Fest, you know how great of a festival this thing is. I would not say this if it wasn't true. I would still probably have them on the show, but I wouldn't say this. It is a great beer festival. Really, he's figured it out and continues to improve on it. It's not just beer. There's beverages for everybody. There is lots of food, entertainment. It's a good beer fest. Chris says, I hate how podcasts are managed on CarPlay. Yeah, I've been kind of not loving it either. I'm with the new 9-to-5 job that I've been working. I've been listening to podcasts a lot more again, which is awesome. Like, I love being able to get through more content, but it's gotten me to realize that I'm not loving my podcast app right now. So I might be on the hunt for a new podcast app. That is a daunting thought in my head to have to go through and repopulate playlists and things like that, but I might be doing it. Because I don't love the way the Apple Podcasts is displaying mostly in CarPlay. As the way I'm doing it right now, maybe you'll get some use out of the way I do it. Is every morning before I leave the house, I am throwing episodes into a queue on my phone, and I kind of know how many episodes I'm going to get through in a day. If not, just carries over into the next day. And then I'm kind of using my different playlists to just give me a list of episodes that I can then drop into the queue. That's kind of the way I'm doing it. I don't love it, though. Okay. Bacchus Brewfest. Ticket giveaway. Let's figure out a clever way to give these away. Let's go with, I need, and we talked about this early in the episode, so if you were listening to this episode all the way through, you'll benefit. The first person that sends the drunk line a text, or my phone a text if you have my phone number, whoever texts me first with two different beer names from Misrule Brewing, we'll get a pair of tickets. I've got the phone right here, so the first one, first person that texts, the person that was texting me earlier, don't worry. That's what I'll say. All right. I need two different Misrule beers. Current beers, if they are beers that have that are not on tap right now, I'm not going to count them. I tell you, you got to get current beers. They don't have to be beers that I drank, but they've got to be current beers. send them to the drunk line or send them to my phone. Either way. And it is a pair. Two tickets. And we will be giving out more tickets, too, over the next next couple weeks. You should go ahead and mark your calendar to get to the Bacchus Beer Fest. It is, what, May 16th? Is that right? May 16th. And it is at the Element Eatery. They kind of close off like the street that kind of wraps around Element Eatery there. There's a big stage at one end, and they line the street with booths, and you can go inside. The bar's still open. All the food's open inside. It's really a ton of fun, and it's hard to create an event that kind of pleases all of the different sides of people that would go, like, you to get the beer nerds happy, to get the people that just kind of want to go to a festival and try a bunch of stuff or drink a bunch of things. to find a way to please both of those people, to please the people that just really want to be entertained. That's tough. It's difficult to do. All right, the challenge will continue even after the show ends, because I'm going to wrap things up. So send me a text, and we'll give away a pair of tickets. And that's 567-703-7465 if you don't know the number. If you're listening to this show right now, program the number in your phone. Sometimes I'm wrong about things. My wife tells me that all the time. So if I am wrong about things, call in and tell me. Like, that's the purpose of the drunk line. You can call in during the show and tell me why I'm wrong about something. All right, we have a winner. So tonight's giveaway is closed. If you were not quick to the text, you are SOL. Yep, Zach, you were a little too late. Also, I don't think Moon Ticket is one. Not that I saw. Okay. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for hanging out and listening to this show. Thank you for Chris says I sent the text to 911. That's fine. Maybe they'll give you some tickets. There will be more tickets to give away. I appreciate all of you not only making this show a thing, but still supporting Cincy Brewcast after, what has it been? 11 years at this point. Thank you. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. That show means a lot to me. It's not done, for all of you who have been concerned about it. No, it's still continuing. It's always changing and evolving, but it is still going strong. And there's some good episodes coming. Drinking with the Gnome, if you are a fan of all of the other sides of drinking. If you like hard soda, Drinking with the Gnome is the place that you should hang out. If you like bourbon, Drinking with the Gnome. So any of the other stuff, that all belongs in Drinking with the Gnome. And look, if we want to... Okay, like I said, I was wrapping up, but let's go behind the scenes a little bit. Zach says, who won? Julia won. Julia was the first. It has crossed my mind, and it actually, there's a couple different levels to this. It makes a lot of sense for Drinking with the Gnome to just become the name of the podcast and encompass literally everything, just all of it under one thing. That's a logical way to do it. Also, as I'm launching Cincy Drinks, it really kind of makes sense for Cincy Drinks to become the name of everything, and all of it just kind of fall under that umbrella. And I get that. And that is probably what every smart consultant would tell me to do. Not going to do that because I love Cincy Brewcast too much to do that. I think that it lives in a very happy place for me, and it always will. So it's not going anywhere. Zach says, magazine out in summer, right? Yes. Yes, this summer we are getting the first issue of Cincy Drinks magazine. There will be quarterly issues for definitely the first year, and depending on what sponsorship looks like and what subscribers look like, it'll probably be the first couple to few years that it'll be quarterly. The idea is that once it makes financial sense, we can shift it and do it bi-monthly. So, but that's that depends on all of you out there in the world to support it. If you do want to support it, go to CincyDrinks.com. I appreciate all of you that are have been subscribing. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming this summer, and you'll get I'm not gonna go too deep into what you'll get and when you'll get it because there's too many moving pieces. But first issue will be coming this summer. Stay tuned for that. If you don't already subscribe to the podcasts, subscribe to the podcasts. I mentioned the whole falling under the Cincy Drinks umbrella. There is some stuff kind of with that coming that you'll see, and it'll be fun. It'll be a little fun way to kind of start to tie stuff together under that brand a little bit. We'll see. We'll see how it all works out. Share with a friend, please. That's how it all keeps growing. If you like this show, if you like any of the stuff that I do, you know the drill by now, right? You can go to thegnarlygnome.com/support and you can become a Gnomie. Gnomies always will have it better than everybody else. They will get things before other people. They will get extra things. It is a special place for people that I really love. They're not like the normal people. The normal people have to like wait for things. Not the Gnomies. They get first dibs. So thank you if you do already support over there. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Way more than you realize. I appreciate it. And I think that next week we should probably get together. We should probably come here on Monday. Let's do this on Monday, like around 9:30-ish. Right here, 9:30-ish, Monday. I'll see you guys there. Thank you very much. We'll do this again. It's always a ton of fun. Maybe next week will be the week that nothing happens that I can rant about. Maybe the world is just perfect and happy, and we just fire it up, and I just sit there and quietly drink, and you just watch me quietly drink something. Or maybe it'll be terrible, and I'll rant and rave, and we'll dig into the bucket of mystery. Who knows? Could go either way. We'll see you guys then. Whichever way it goes. Cheers, everybody. Have a good week. Be gnarly. Next week, I'll plan a cocktail that uses the bucket of mystery, not knowing what's going to come out of the bucket of misery. And so it's a cocktail that you don't know if it'll be horrible or just bad. Horrible or bad. Yeah. It'll be gross. That'd be fun, though.